good song of testimony.
Thank you so much for that. It's good to have some visitors here with us today. Heather's mother's here, and Seth's mom's here, and my brother Paul and his wife Kim are here, and I'm sure there are others as well, and we're just glad to have you here. Thank you for being here. Make sure everybody look around for people that you don't know. Make sure you shake their hand before they get out the door. Don't tackle them. Don't hurt them, but make them feel like they're a part of the place while they're here. So it's good to have them all here. We've been studying the Beatitudes and been looking at this for a couple of weeks now. We're going to continue going through the Sermon on the Mount. So go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This morning in the Sunday school hour, my brother mentioned something about golf. And I thought that was where I was going to go a little bit with some of my introductory remarks today. If you know anything about golf, it's one of those games that a lot of preachers play it. And I have clubs. They're dusty, and they're in my garage. That's where they really belong. It's the safest place for them and for everybody around. Golf is a game that is wonderful if you can ever get that ball to go where you want it to go. You rear back and you hit it, and I can hit it. I can hit it hard. I just never know where it went when I hit it. That is not under control. The safest thing to do when I go up to the tee is to put a hard hat on and get behind me, because I'm just not that good at it. I'm the kind of guy who would much rather be on the golf course. I love the golf course. I love the trees. I love the grass. I love the fellowship with the other guys, and I enjoy the game as far as that goes. But I'm the guy who probably ought to be on horseback out there, up high, looking out for everybody's balls, because I'm not very good at finding my own. I'm not good at finding anybody else's. I would trade my golf clubs today for a good riding horse. I would. No problem. No problem at all. I remember growing up, we had a friend who had a horse. I've ridden a lot of horses. I spent a couple summers on a ranch in southern Illinois and rode every day. And one of those horses was an Appaloosa. Some of them were quarter horses. One was a big, fat Morgan that I used to ride. I used to like to get up on his back legs and turn around and run home anytime he thought he heard food. I've ridden a lot of them. But I think my favorite horse was one that a young lady in our church had back in near Kankakee, Illinois, where I grew up. He was a dapple gray, spirited, very spirited Arabian. And he had some long Middle Eastern name that none of us could ever pronounce, so we just called him Duke. And I used to love to go to ride Duke. He would kick up his heels and whinny loud when he saw me coming, and the girl who owned him was terrified of this horse until after I got there and rode him for a while. And so I would get over there and get on Duke, and I would saddle him up, and he didn't like that too much because he just liked to run, you know. But I'd get him saddled up, and more than once I almost was bit trying to put the bridle and the bit on him so that I could ride him. He was that kind of a horse, very powerful, very strong. But once I got on his back, and after he kicked up a few times and bucked a little bit, we finally got him under control. We got him going where he was going. And he'd run, and then he'd calm down, and then he had kind of a real quiet saunter, and he'd go on. And I'd love to ride him for an hour or so, before, get him all lathered up and get him to where he was calm. And then my friend, she could get on him and ride him. On the best days, I could get him to walk sidestep all the way around the corral. That was great. I love that horse, under control. This is the picture of what we're trying to get to when we look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 5. We've read already in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And now we're looking at, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You don't get to this thing of meekness until you've been through those first two Beatitudes. Because you have to get to this place where you are poor in spirit and you realize that you're a sinner. You realize that there's nothing good in and of yourself and that you need to turn your life over to the Lord. And then there has to be this utter dependence upon God, and followed with this mourning, this attitude of brokenness over sin, and a desire to completely turn from it, and to completely surrender your life to follow the Lord. These are attitudes that happen. And the Bible says there, people who do this are blessed. It's not a matter of what we do. It just happens within us as we walk with the Lord. And God says we are blessed when we reach this point. But then it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A lot of times we think of this word meekness, and we think of milk toast, and we think of somebody who's a weenie, and somebody who's just a limp noodle, and has no ambition or strength at all. But that is not what we're talking about. We're talking about, as has been mentioned even recently in one of our home studies on a Sunday night a few weeks ago, it's a strength that is under control. Like Duke, after he got his act together and was able to be led. Another time, my wife and I had a chance. I don't know if it was a chance or we did it, and we wish we hadn't. I don't know exactly. We did this elephant safari in Thailand for our 10th wedding anniversary. Don't ask me how I talked her into it, but we did it. And we hiked through the mountains in Thailand, and then we got on the elephant. And I got thinking when I got on the back of that thing, I said, you know what, I'm not sure I like this. I've been on horses, and you have something to hang on to. You have the bridle and the reins, but there was nothing on that horse, on that elephant. And I'm thinking, this is a big animal. This thing could hurt us. But next to the elephant was this little short man. Little leather-skinned, dark brown man, wearing a pair of cutoffs and a pair of flip-flops. Had a scruffy beard. He had a green ball cap on. Little Thai man. All of 5 feet tall. Maybe he weighed 90 pounds. He was called a mahout. And the mahout is this guy, when he was a little boy, and the elephant was a little baby elephant, they were put together when they were young. And while that little elephant was small, that boy was small as well, but he was big enough to give orders and train this baby elephant. And this elephant and this mahout grew up together. And as we got on the back of the elephant, the mahout would tell this elephant which way to go, when to turn, when to stop, when to sit, whatever he wanted it to do. And immediately that giant elephant was controlled by a 90-pound mahout. There is a picture of what we're talking about with meekness. See, the word meekness deals with this idea of, again, strength under control. Have you ever worked for somebody who was a bull in the china shop? Very strong, very loud, made his orders, barked his orders, made his demands, and you did it. But it wasn't because you respected or loved him. There was a fear. Sometimes there was a disdain, but you did it to appease the bear, you know what I'm talking about. People who are like that are not meek. People who are meek are people that children are not afraid of, and yet they know they're strong enough to carry them. I think of meekness and I think of a weightlifter, a giant weightlifter who carries around an infant in his palm. That's what I'm thinking of. Oh, he could crush him in an instant, but yet he has got that strength under control and uses that strength to accomplish a good purpose. God wants us to be meek in the way we raise our children, in the way that we treat our wives, in the way that we represent him in this world as we go about our daily lives. People who are meek are usually very soft-spoken. They are respected. People follow them because they choose to, because they respect and honor them. They don't do it out of dread. They do it because they know that this person is using their abilities for the best of all involved. The Greek word is a word, praus, and it speaks primarily of a domesticated animal. One commentator I read said it's like a trained dog. It could bite, it could hurt, it could run wild like a wolf, but it is under control and it does its master's bidding. Meek is the quality characteristic of humility, coupled with gentleness. This meek person doesn't threaten or challenge others, but accepts others openly and confidently. It is mild, gentle, meek. The word is related to the idea of a friend. Someone who wants to help. Someone who wants to soothe the troubled heart and bring peace to a situation. It's to calm. It is not to irritate or to excite. It's pleasant. As opposed to someone who's rough and hard and violent or brutal and forces their way through life. It's a synonym of a word, affable. Again, the idea of being kind and magnanimous and generous and desiring to help people. One Greek dictionary said it's more like agriculture than war. Think of a plow horse, a strong plow horse that's under control of its master and the good that it can do. And then think of that same horse if it's more like a war horse that can charge and run over people and cause great damage. Here's a good definition. It is often used for the quiet and friendly composure which does not become embittered or angry at what is unpleasant, whether in the form of people or fate. This is an active attitude and a deliberate acceptance, not just a passive submission. Greatness of soul is demonstrated by this superior acceptance. The sage is tranquil in relation to the acquisition of external goods and honors. In other words, life doesn't shake you up. People don't get your goat. You're not easily irritated. You're just faithfully plodding forward doing God's work. God wants us to be meek. If you're put in a position of power, in a position of authority, there's a certain lightness about you. If you're a judge and you're brought into a situation and you have to make a decision and the law says this harsh punishment is due, a meek person finds a way to somehow make that not quite so harsh. It's an adornment of the soul that makes us somebody that is attractive to the lost and attractive to other believers, and we want to follow them. Now, it doesn't mean that someone who is meek can't get angry. There is a time when anger is in place for even the meek. It's a justifiable, but it's a moderate anger. It's the balance between an extreme anger and utter indifference, and I don't care. There's a strong sense of gentle justice involved with this. We need to be like that Duke horse, like that Thai elephant, brought under the control of somebody else. Not ourselves. This is not so much self-control as it is submission to what the master says to do. Now, there are times our master says to go forth in battle. And we go forth in battle. And we do what he says. I think of the Navy SEALs, and I think of what happened here not too long ago with Osama bin Laden. Those men were trained. Those men were equipped. Those men were disciplined. We had a man in our church in Guam who was a Navy SEAL trainer. And he told me that at least 5 or 6 times a week, he got up and ran 17 miles so he could be in enough shape to train the other guys. Discipline, under control. And yet he would go on missions. He built a bookcase that's in my house, a gentle, beautiful. He had control of his hands, and he could do wonderful things with the wood tools that he had. Quiet, soft-spoken man. But yet he would be gone for weekends, or sometimes gone for a week. And I'd ask him where he went. He said, "Can't tell you." "What did you do?" "Can't tell you." And we know the things that he was trained to do to protect our country. Strong, able to be dangerous if needed, but under control. And listening for the orders of a master to tell him what to do. Never acting on his own accord and own volition. We need to be that type of person where our lives are poor in spirit, nothing good in ourselves, mourning over our sins and our failures in those times when we're not meek. And then allowing ourselves to become under the control of our Lord and Master. Doing whatever His bidding is. Forward, backward, sideways, left, right, stop. Wait. We're not naturally that way, are we? We have our own desires. We have our own strength. We have our own ideas. A lot of times we're like that angry golfer who loses control over that ball and then pitches a fit on top of it. We want to be in control of our lives, but if we're meek, we understand that God is in control of our lives. And when the rug gets pulled out from under us, whether it's a job or a financial crash or a health issue or a wayward child or something that we cannot control, we understand God is in control. And we do whatever He says we need to do in that situation so that we can glorify Him and accomplish His work. God wants us to be meek. Psalm 37, verse 11. Bob read that this morning in that passage that we read. And Psalm 37, 11 is where this idea of meekness is first introduced in the Scripture. And matter of fact, many say that Jesus, when He read Matthew, when He's quoted Matthew 5, 5 to those who were listening there on the mountain, that He was actually referring in His own mind to Psalm 37, verse 11, which says, "The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Again, when we get to that point, the Bible calls us blessed. Some commentaries want to call it happy. We're not always happy when we have to be meek. Happy as in, "I'm glad everything happened this way." I know Paul and Kim are not happy about cancer. They're not happy about that. Some of you are without work. You're not happy about that. Some of you have parents that you're having to care for. You're not happy about that. Some of you have wayward children. You're not happy about it. But we can be blessed because we understand God has this under control. And as we submit to Him, He's going to use even this difficult circumstance, even this illness, even this financial setback, somehow He's going to glorify Himself through it. And we're submitted and ready to do what He wants. The Thompson Chain Reference Bible says this meekness is to be bowed down in gentleness. Jameson Fawcett Brown says that it is the opposite of high-mindedness and a quarrelsome and revengeful spirit. It's, again, this idea of submission. A.T. Robertson said it's the fine blend of spiritual poise and strength. Do you get the idea here of a steadiness and a calmness of soul? Do you have that? Now listen, you're not going to be able to work that up on yourself. By yourself. You can't read a book and get it. You can't take a class and get it. You can't get it any other way but just going through life and trusting God and letting Him do what He needs to do. When you do, he gives it to you. Matthew Henry said, when you're meek, you'd rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one. That's not natural. That only comes to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Are you all fretting and upset and uptight about the way your life's going? Number one, you may not know the Lord. You may not have that Holy Spirit inside of you who helps you through those things and enables you. Number two, you may be a Christian who's going through life and you've been so busy doing all the things that you're trying to do in your own strength that you have failed to stop and pray. Or you have failed to read God's Word and find an answer for your situation. You failed to trust God. Ask God to help you to be meek, to follow Him, to allow Him to do the work that He can do in your life. Matthew Henry says, the meek and quiet are observed to live the most easy lives compared with the froward and turbulent. That doesn't mean their life is easy, but they've learned to trust God and they can handle it. Have you ever noticed that about people? Some people, a difficulty comes and immediately they just, weep and wail and just fall apart. And yet other people go through the same things or something worse. And yet they are steady and faithful and continuing to do what God wants them to do. Walbert and Zuck said they are, the meek are truly humble and gentle and have a proper appreciation of their position. They understand that God put them where they are at this point in time and this situation because there's something He's trying to do in their life. Or there's something He wants to do with them in the future. And they have to go through this to get to that point. I often go back in my own mind and in my own life, and when I go through difficulties, and I've been through a number of them, and I remember often Les Olola made the comment that God never uses a man greatly until He wounds him deeply. And we have to go through the struggles, and we have to see God make us help us through this struggle so that we are ready for the ones that's still to come. The greatest struggle that all of us will face one day is that struggle when we go through the death throes and we cross over through the valley of the shadow of death and we have to get to heaven. And it's all coming for all of us unless the Lord returns. Those who are meek are ready for that day. And they can go. And the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. How can that be? How is that possible? Because God grants a meekness to people. And there's a blessedness that comes with it. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It is humble and teachable. And it allows God to direct our strengths. A man named Richards says it is a responsiveness to God. Go now, not later. Stop now. Do what He wants us to do immediately. It recognizes God's authority and submits itself to every manifestation to it. It's not rebellious in any way, shape, or form. Students in school, kids at home, you got to learn this meekness now because there are bigger lessons for you to learn later. The meek person is gentle and mild in his own cause, though he may be a lion in God's cause or in defending others. Moses was a meek man. He was quiet. When people rebelled against him, God said, I'm going to bring judgment. And Moses would intercede on the behalf of the people who were coming after him. And yet, when Moses had received the law and was coming down from the mountain and saw God's people worshiping a golden calf, his fury is infamous. Jesus Christ was meek. They plucked out his beard. They did all these things to him. He never spoke a word. Even as they nailed his arms and his hands and feet to the cross, what is his cry to God? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Meekness, strength, under control. He could have called down 10,000 angels. You've heard the song. But it's true. He could have done it. But he didn't. Because he was doing the bidding of his Father. And yet, when he went into the temple and saw them exchanging money and making a mockery of the worship of the Lord, he pulls out a whip and tips over the tables and chases the people out in defense of his God. We have all sorts of illustrations of this. Think of Daniel. 3 times a day he prays. Every day. Opens his windows towards Jerusalem. Prays to God. Everybody knows the only thing we're going to catch this guy on is his relationship with God, because he's faithful. So they manipulate the situation, get a law written that nobody's supposed to pray to anybody but the king. Daniel knows it. And he goes to the window and he opens the window and he kneels down and prays. Even though he knows he's going to be cast into the lion's den. Strength, obedience, submission to the will of God. No matter what anybody else does, no matter what anybody else says, I am going to do the will of God. Great humility involved with this. This is not about preserving myself. This is not about preserving my plan or my agenda. This is about accomplishing the will of God. This is a meekness. It puts strength. Not weakness. Power under control. John MacArthur said, an unbroken colt is useless. Medicine that's too strong will harm rather than cure. A wind out of control destroys. Emotion out of control also destroys and has no place in God's kingdom. We need to use our power not for ourselves. Any strength that we have, whether it's mental ability or physical ability or spiritual experience, whatever it is that we have, we don't use this for our own defense or for our own selfish purpose. We submit it to the will of God. C.H. Spurgeon said this. He said, he has the best of the world who thinks the least of it and the least of himself, and is focused on the will of God. Are you a weak person? A meek person? Arthur Pink says it's lowly, it's gentle, it's receptive to the will of God. It's compliant to the mind and the will of God. It is a taming of the inner lion. We all have it. Everybody in here has got a temper. Somebody's just got to push the right button. Right? We all know somebody who knows how to push it, don't we? But if we're submitted to God, we learn how to tame that and allow God to do what He needs to do in our life. And the only time they ever see our anger is when the glory of God's impeached. And somebody needs to stand up and be counted for righteousness. Oh, we need God to raise up a mighty army of meek believers in our nation right now. There are all sorts of things going on in Washington, D.C. and in the state houses and things like that. And when the churches don't stand up with that meek spirit, I'm not saying burn down abortion clinics. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying march on City Hall. I'm not saying that. But we do have some strength in the ballot box. And we do have a mind that allows us to see what's going on. And we do have an opportunity to use that for the glory of God. Ask God in the next few weeks, the next few months, as we get prepared for this day, to be meek. Ask God to help you to be meek and do the right thing. Not pushing your own agenda, but what does God want done here? That means you need to educate yourself on what's going on. You need to educate yourself on what the lawmakers that we're about to vote on believe and what they're going to do. You need to get involved and not just wait for somebody to tell you what to do. Find out. Be strong. Be meek. Stand up for what's right. Be counted. Have a boldness for God, a gentleness for yourself. four or five T's I want to give you. Just put these down if you're writing notes. Meek, tame, versus wild. Teachable, rather than arrogant. Trained, versus unrestrained. Tempered, like steel, rather than weak and spineless. Entrusted by God with truth that He wants proclaimed. If we are like that, we'll find ourselves with a character that's been molded in the fires of self-surrender to the will of God. And God can use us tremendously for Him. A fellow named R. Earl Allen said, "The Christian who does not speak up concerning his convictions is not meek at all, but is weak and afraid, unwilling to face the real issues and the consequences of taking a stand." God wants us to be meek, folks. Are you that? Have you become poor in spirit where you're willing to say, "It's not of me. It's not about me." Have you mourned over your sin and asked God to save you from your sin? And now have you submitted yourself to the control of God? The still, small voice of the mahout can control a lion. Control an elephant. Does the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit control your inner lion? Have you given yourself to the Lord in this spirit of meekness? Our Father, we're thankful for the Word of God and how it speaks powerfully to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, we have a need to be controlled by You. We know it. We know it in our hearts. We know what we could be if we let ourselves go wild. But Lord, help us to understand that when we are submitted to You, that You have wonderful things You want to accomplish with us. You said that we would inherit the earth. We would be used of You here and in eternity if we submit to You. Lord, help us to be the blessed people. Lord, if there's one who doesn't know You as Savior today, they have never seen themselves as a sinner. They've never seen themselves as unable to do this themselves. I pray, Lord, that You will speak to their heart. Draw them in conviction to Yourself. For those of us who are Christians who have a desire to be used of You, and yet so often we run astray and we try to do this our own way, I pray, Lord, that You'll bring us under Your control as we should be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Eric, you got a song?